Breakfast puppies, dinner puppies, lunch puppies. Ain't no thing. I'll dust all them puppies because I'm Jebediah. I'm the farmer over here. I got all your dusting puppy needs.
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
A pair of wheels, a pair of dice, a pair of cubes, and drinks are nice. It's time again for Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Open road, open gameplay. For open taverns we all pray. In a secular way, it's Bikers, Dice, and Bars. BMC is NPC. Just Jacob, B. Bougelet, Dr. G. Until the bottle's gone kaput. And if you're driving, please don't drink. Stay off your bike, raise a glass and clink. It's time again for Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Okay, what are we drinking right now?
I don't know. There's knife work going on over there.
Yeah, Jake is trying to open his thing with a knife. I'm going to use my Fraternal Order of Bartenders bottle opener.
Oh, that was that. Ooh, that sounded wonderful in my ears.
Sexy. I got a little soft on from that. We are drinking Dawn of the Red because it is October from Ninkasi Brewing out of Eugene, Oregon. It is a red IPA. Noses of pineapple, citrus, and it says it is malty. Coming in at 66 IBU and 7% ABV.
Okay. Yep. Yep. I've had this one before.
So it sounds
I love it. It's got owls on it. Yeah.
Owls on it. It sounds like a kind of mid-range beer for the Portland scene. 60 IBU, 7% ABV. That's mid. Yeah.
I'm just going to say it kind of reminds me of a Northeastern IPA.
Hmm.
It doesn't have the, I'm putting enough pine cones into it to reforest, you know, the a clear cut, you know, it's.
Oh my God. That would be the Portland clear cut IPA.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's,
Speaking of clear cutting. Well, one, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded in Portland, Oregon. I'm NBC.
I'm Just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Poppy Beaujolais.
But yes, speaking of clear cutting. So Jacob and I, and to a lesser extent Poppy, have recently become immersed in an online world. This is an online world called the Exiled Lands of a video game called Conan Exiles. It is a Funcom made pseudo MMO. It's kind of like it's an online survival game, multiplayer.
It's an MMO. But
it feels like an MMO. Funcom makes MMOs. Every single aspect of the game, you kind of just get that whole MMO feeling, except it doesn't have those annoying little timer hotkey things, you know, like special unlocked level based abilities. It's all just like stab the thing till it dies.
And no goddamn quests. I don't have to be hunting around for lightning light bulbs or fucking question marks.
You don't have to collect seven
widgets.
Headless turtles.
The only reason I'm killing rats is because I want their hide, not because some asshole has a problem with his pest control.
There's a service for that, sir. It's not me.
But yeah, we've been deeply immersed in this game. I think Jacob is a longtime player of the game. I would say not quite a pro, but of everybody who's been playing on our server, I think you are the most the most experience.
I dabbled during the early stages of COVID a bit, and just because, you know, unlike most of the people we play with, I enjoy PvP games. So, you know,
what level are you at right now?
Oh, well, at the moment, I'm only 56. Most of the server is actually ahead of me level-wise, but, you know,
I'm only like a 22 or something.
I mean, again, I play PvP and theft can happen no matter what level you have. And your stuff is tasty.
Well, we haven't been playing PvP or for those who don't know what that means, it's player versus player. This is all on PvE server, player versus environment, where we all work together in a big happy biome as Conan hippies, I guess.
We're kind of a collective.
Conan commune.
We're a clan or a tribe.
We are a loose confederation of unions.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, but technically all under the same
confederation.
Yeah. Called the Breakfast Puppies. Anyway, yes, and before we delve into any deeper discussion today, dear listener, if you wish to join us, we have a dedicated server that I'm running. Check out the links or just go to our Discord and you can find out all the details if you too wish to play with a curated group of really cool people.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, also to explain the clear-cutting joke is, oftentimes in this game, you're just going to find a bit of landscape and be like, okay, I need some rocks. I need some tree, some wood. I need some insects. I need some bark. I'm just going to devastate this environment with my pickaxe. Because you come back 20 minutes later and it's all there again.
It's all magically returned. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be interesting to have a mod there that stuff didn't repopulate and you had to. I know,
oh,
right?
God.
Oh, it's no. Almost like being on Earth.
Almost like being in Oregon,
right?
Yeah, just the repair costs for your equipment alone would devastate the entire Southern Island area in 2 days. 2 days max.
And this is why clear cutting is bad.
Yeah. Don't do it. Unless you're drinking Portland Clear Cut IPA, which we haven't made yet.
That said, I just can say, as someone who was in the reforestry business for a very short time, you get more bored feet out of a tree than what Conan gives you.
Fair. Yeah.
Well, I had to cut that tree down with a stone axe that I made myself from strapping a branch to a rock. So who cares if I only got two logs
while
out of that
I was
tree?
Naked and starving, damn it.
While running from what looked to be a turtle that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kicked out because he was a derp.
Oh, I feel so bad killing those baby turtle things. Oh, man.
Xander, why aren't you playing this with us?
What's a Conan?
Oh, my God. Get out.
I have to go.
Conan the Sumerian?
The only thing I know is Conan the Librarian. That's all I know.
Oh, my God.
Have you never seen the Conan movies?
With the Governator?
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and... I'm so excited for you. You get to see it for the first time. OMG, we got to have a viewing.
All right.
So that creates a really good segue into this.
That's what I was aiming for.
We're doing a character jam today. We haven't done one in a while, so yay, character jam.
Character jam.
Character jam.
This time, because my brain is currently deeply immersed in the Conan universe, I've been reading the books that Robert E. Howard wrote, the collection of his stories. I've been playing the damn video game. So I figured it was only natural we do a character jam for the most recent version of the role-playing game, Conan.
And may I say, potentially the best version of the role-playing game?
Adventures in an Age Undreamed Of. So, I'm going to read a little bit of a blurb from the back of the book. Know, O prince, that between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis and the gleaming cities, and the years of the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world like blue mantles beneath the stars. Or, in the words of Mako from the original Conan the Barbarian movie, let me tell you of an age of adventure. Conan, to answer your question, Xander, is the penultimate bare-chested, loincloth-wearing, kill-things-with-a-big-sword barbarian that really started the entire genre of that character, that cliche, that stereotype.
So like Tarzan with a sword?
Yeah. Robert E. Howard, when he originally wrote the books, was riffing on a existing genre, which was called sword and sandal.
Mm-hmm.
Except,
I just heard of that.
Except he really subverted that trope by, first of all, adding far more mystical, magical elements than what normally existed. And he, more importantly, added the evils of civilization trope to it. Mm.
Where I also see babes in bikini, blades in bikinis, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but, you know, Robert E. Howard, contemporary of a lot of other famous authors, Lovecraft, who he exchanged letters with, et cetera, originally from Texas, very interesting biography of his own. But yeah, ever since then, there's been the movies. Marvel Comics did a huge run. There's been books that were published after his untimely death. And a series of role-playing games. The one we're working with today is the latest Modiphius offering.
You had asked about Tarzan. So Tarzan was a creation of, I believe, Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also was famous for the John Carter of Mars series, The Princess of Mars, and all of that stuff. He was a contemporary of Robert E. Howard. I think they shared letters. They probably hung out. Who knows? Maybe they were friends. I don't know the full story there. But Conan was 100% inspired by that shift in the era. Because I think Robert E. Howard was initially writing stories of somebody that he called Cull of Atlantis. And then he got inspired by Edgar Rice Burroughs' books, Edgar Rice Burroughs' writings and whatnot, to really dedicate himself to the development of this character and this world of Hyboria.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Robert E. Howard is one of those guys that just sort of like breaks my brain a little bit, because he started writing professionally when he was 15 years old. And I try to think about, like, what the hell was I up to when I was 15? Like
writing fanfic?
Not even. This was before fanfic. I was 15 before fanfic existed, honey. As a genre. I'm that old.
I can guarantee you fanfic existed before you, because Star Trek existed before you.
That's true. That's very true. Yes. Yes. That's very true.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember rolling in and getting magazines that were the cheaper version of pulp magazines that were literally nothing but republished fanfic before the internet existed.
Before the internet. Okay, before the internet. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Conan.
But in short, Conan is this hyper-capable, hyper-masculine barbarian from the far northlands who was a star character in a series of pulp, not novels, well, some novels, but pulp magazines. Mm-hmm. Was it Amazing Tales or Amazing Stories?
I don't know if it was, I believe it was Astonishing Stories,
Stories.
Don't quote me on that. I'm iffy on that part.
Yeah. And these were just periodicals that came out, and a lot of dudes were obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. He was then the star of many Marvel comics, and eventually, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did okay portraying Conan in the movie that launched Arnold's career, Conan the Barbarian, with one of, to date, in my opinion, the greatest movie soundtracks of all time.
Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous movie.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
We rewatched it a few years ago for Have Movies Will Game, our now defunct podcast, our first mm-hmm. podcast. And I had only seen like the made for TV version on, you know, when I was like a child or whatever. And we watched through the extended or whatever cut of it. And it's fabulous. It's really kind of heartbreaking in some places.
And weirdly star-studded.
And it has one of my favorite long-term quotes. What is good in life? To crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of their women.
Yeah.
I just know Conan the Librarian from UHF, which also has one of my favorite lines of all
this
time.
This book is a little late.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Amazing.
Is there a librarian class I can play in this game?
This is not a class-based game, but I imagine if you wanted, you could try and manipulate things to play a very book-smart character. Mm. But this is more of a game of adventure. It is called Adventures in an Age Undreamed Of. It is a game that favors characters of action who are willing to go forth and do.
Yeah, this is I don't think I've seen a character sheet quite like this before.
What about it?
I mean, there's just, it's very long. the stress and harms is very specific. And
you have never played in one of my games, obviously.
Well, that's on you.
Fair.
And then a section that just says more talents, which is other. Like, that's all it says. Like,
Jacob, would you tell us a bit about the game? You seem to have the most experience with it, given your stack of books over there.
Well, honestly, like I mentioned in my Discord, I only got the Modiphius set quite recently, and I've only done a light skim on the main rule books. However, the role-playing game has quite a history to it. As far as I know, and not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination, the first iteration came in between Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition and Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition, and was a reskinning of the 1st Edition rules, and so that was the first one I'm aware of. I believe there was one or two in between that, and when I believe Mongoose Publishing did the 3.0, 3.5 version of Conan. And then they did a update of that ripped out a lot of the really obnoxious 3.0, 3.5 elements. And then Modiphius. In addition to that, there's been a couple supplements for other role-playing systems for doing Conan under that. There's been a fan-made Savage World system, a whole bunch of others. It's got a deep legacy in the gaming community.
I want to give a shout-out to our listener, Greg, who I believe was the first person to introduce me to the tabletop version through the 3rd edition Conan version. Conan Hyborian Adventures, I think it was called, or something. That was actually a pretty interesting take on the third D20 system.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. It added a couple interesting things where it really leaned into the strengths of the Conan mythos, where Conan is literally your classic barbarian. And you could go through and a complete armor progression based on armor class progression based on not wearing armor and being that nimble rolling guy who was still strong, but more light on his feet. Supposedly I have heard, don't know how true this is, that one of the people who was really behind the Mongoose reskinning for 3.0, 3.5 actually had a history in boxing. And used that to inform how he reskinned the combat.
Like Kevin Sambita.
And yeah, that's it.
This system in particular, as opposed to the D20 system, which was, you know, very cut and dry progression, forward, 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 up, 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 codified rules. This is more of what I would describe from many of the games that I've played as a leaning to the left, to the story side. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mechanics in here which are very loose, very open, involve a lot of fiddly bits, you know, maneuvering, moving some tokens around the table, you know, the doom tokens or the momentum tokens, because you have a lot of leeway as a player to like spend a point and change the moment, change the story. Like, no, I didn't actually do that. Or I'm feeling the power of Crumb. And you spend a couple of extra things to give yourself more dice. It's pretty open-ended in that, and I really like it.
And for those of you who have experience with the earlier 3.0, 3.5 version of the Conan game, one of the biggest critiques about it and its successor version was that if you took a certain race as a background, you were really, really heavily penalized unless you min-maxed whatever that race was good at. The Modiphius version gets away from that so hard, and I love it for it.
What I love that it does with races, your origin, your background, the ethnicity doesn't limit you in any way. all it does is give you a sampling of abilities and talents that you probably have learned from your background. But there's no drawback to it. The only drawback would be whatever the in-game fiction might have for relationships between different ethnicities and different cultures.
Screw Stygians, yeah. All the time.
Stygians. Well, I mean, Stygians, the Stygian culture really got the short end of the stick, because I would say that due to the cartoon that came out, mm-hmm. which also didn't suck, it basically turned them all into snake worshiping bastards, like actual physical snake people. But otherwise, it has no drawbacks to picking. So you can build whatever kind of character you want based on any mix of cultures, any mix of skills. There's no wrong way to build a character in this.
Sweet.
Let's build some characters.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
I want to understand this world, because I am coming in blank.
I'm so excited.
Okay, then. Well, as we tend to do, any system that has an option for random character creation, we tend to favor this. So we're going to do that now. Xander?
What dice do I need?
For this, the system uses only D20s and D6s.
Oh, cool.
Heard.
And you're going to need a buttload of D20s.
Okay.
Now, the system itself is called the 2D20 system.
Yep.
It is a success pool-based kind of thing. You'll roll multiple dice, and the highest ones will get you some bonus. Or the lowest ones, actually, right?
Yes.
I
would literally have three left. Again, I got my stack of books. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, and I've been writing two games.
Oh, no, it's a Price is Right style system where I believe, if I remember correctly, I was reading this a few weeks ago to refresh on this, and
I'm going to correct myself
here, but it's the highest that you can under a number.
Right.
Yeah.
Blackjack rules.
Yeah. So D20s are the main thing that you're going to use, because each of you is going to roll a set number of D20s.
Oh.
How many at a time am I going to need?
Yeah.
For the random character creation, you're going to get 9 D20s.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I set a bowl of them right out in the middle if folks want to grab some extras. Yeah,
so my 7 D20s that I own is not going to be enough.
Nope, you need 2 more.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've never felt so inadequate in my life.
I know, right? What the hell?
It's like Modiphius looking at White Wolf and going, we see your D10s and raise you D20s. Modiphius also looking at Shadowrun and going, like, that's a little much, bro.
Well, speaking of Edgar Rice Burroughs, Modiphius got the license to do the same system, the same mechanics, the same character creation for John Carter.
How many D6 am I going to need?
Not many. So just a small handful. Four or five, I don't know.
I think with this many, I'm not going to use my metal or stone dice. I'm going to go all plastic here. How many? 9?
You need 9 D20s. There are no good or bad rolls on these D20s.
So many, I know. Little
D6 I have.
Wait, one,
so cute,
two.
Look at these things.
Those make my eyes hurt. Nine, okay. I'm an old man.
So roll them all and lay them out in front of you.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Okay. Any particular order? How
no
we
order
them
whatsoever.
Up?
You don't need to order them, in fact. Just roll them, keep them handy, and ready to be picked up and set aside as needed.
Bingo.
Wait, you rolled bingo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, balls, I moved that one. I got to re-roll it. Don't recall what it was.
Order doesn't matter. Just, okay.
Doesn't matter. In fact, I'm going to have you each pick one from out of those rolls when we get to each section. So what we're doing is we're creating a group of 3 characters in the Conan world that are going to go forth and do some adventures together.
Are they friends?
They could be, probably. We'll see.
Probably.
We'll see. I mean, were this to be a game that we played, then the 3 of you would be working together. So it'd be a good idea to make characters that could nominally get along or at least
tolerate each other
with the effort of role playing and smart players who are willing to facilitate a good story, maneuver their characters in a position that even if they don't get along, they function well together.
Darling, I've invented a maneuver.
The first thing we're going to do is pick your starting homeland. I say starting. Your homeland. This is where you're from. Your land of origin. There's kingdoms, countries, regions. One thing of note here is that this will pick your land of origin. It's entirely possible that you are not necessarily a member of that culture, but someone from another culture who was raised here.
Mm-hmm. So, an immigrant.
Exactly. In any case, you still start as this culture. Basically, short version of... that's a short way of saying, a long way of saying, you can be whatever skin color you want. So if you're like, you know, I've rolled a white dude, but I really want to be a black person, then you can go for it. It doesn't matter. All that really matters here is your culture decides your starting baseline stuff, like your talents and whatnot. Mm-hmm. All right. The first roll is take two of your dice and add them together.
Oh.
I'm just going to grab these in order.
It's up to you. Yeah, if you wish to. What you got, Xander?
29.
With a 29, that's an interesting spelling. Your character, your homeland is Zimbabwe.
Like from Africa?
Z-E-M-B-A-W. I'm sorry. Z-E-M-B-A-B-W-E-I.
Okay.
You get the talent of Desert Born. Mm-hmm. Oh. And you get the language of Zimbabwean. It's spelled the same, but with an N at the end.
Gotcha.
Poppy.
21.
21. You are from Brythunia.
Spell, please.
Brythunia. Your starting talent is that you are cosmopolitan.
Hmm.
And your language is Brythunian. Same thing with an N at the end.
Damn city kids.
Under talents, it says, you know, effect. Am I writing anything there?
Right now, all we're going to do is write down the names.
Cool. Yeah.
Yep. We're not going to get super, super deep into the mechanics because we're not really playing these characters right now. We're just going to see how these characters sound interesting. Jacob, what you got?
38.
You are either Iranistan or Afghulistan.
Oh, this is a no-brainer. Afghulistan.
Okay. You get Desert Born and you get Afghuli as your language.
Oh, question.
Yep.
Was Desert Born the talent?
Yes.
Okay, so I was cosmopolitan.
You were cosmopolitan. Oh. Yep.
Alrighty then.
That goes into homeland talent, I assume.
Yes.
Cool. Yep, got it.
All right. Cosmopolitan means your homeland has many visitors and people dwelling within it, all with different customs and tongues. When speaking with a non-player character, me, that also has the cosmopolitan talent, it is assumed that you each possess enough of each other's languages in common that you are considered fluent when speaking with one another.
Hey, Xander. Desert Born for life, bro.
Yo.
Your homeland is a vicious and arid one.
And.
Harsh and indifferent to its inhabitants. When in the desert, the number of successes required for any survival test you attempt is reduced by one. This can even reduce tests to a difficulty of zero, which is usually an automatic success. However, when attempting survival tests in areas offering the Winterborn talent, you must achieve one additional level of success because you don't like the cold.
Fuck snow.
Spoken by someone who's never been to Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah, wait a second.
making sure I got this right, because the attribute step is the next one, and it's a little confusing in some of the choice of its words, but here's how we go. Next, we're going to do your attributes. You're going to pick one of your dice and tell me what that number is. I'll start with you, Jacob, since we did you last.
Five.
With a five, your attribute aspect is fast and fit. You pick one of these two as your best and one of these two as your worst. Agility and brawn. And now I want to clarify something here. The word worst isn't accurate. Mm-hmm. It simply means which of the two of these do you want to do the most? The wording here is a little confusing. Dear listener, if you can correct me on this, do so. But as far as I can tell, there's no actual worst to worst. It simply means which of the two of these do you want to be best at?
Yep.
Whichever one you pick is your best, put a plus three next to it. Whichever one you pick is your worst, put a plus one next to it.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like worst at all. It seems like you get bonus to both.
Exactly.
I got to say, that's kind of a Modiphius thing. The same thing kind of shows up in Doom Trooper and a couple other games.
And finally, you get to pick one of these two as an optional attribute. Wait. Hold on. Sorry.
Wait. No.
I'm missing this. I'm getting it wrong. Okay. Every character, here's how it works. Let me start over. Ignore me. Okay. We've been drinking.
You want to put a cut in there?
Nah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Starting attributes. All characters begin with a starting value of 7 in every attribute. This is my fault. I just skipped to the next table. Right. Here's how it is. Put a 7 in every attribute and... if you wish, you can reduce one or two of your attributes to a 6 and similarly increase an equal number of attributes to an 8. So like if you reduce one to a 6, you can raise another one to an 8. What these numbers represent is the baseline targets that you want to try and roll under for anything involving that attribute.
Was I supposed to be writing things down for that?
You want to write 7 for every attribute for right now.
Just write 7 in every attribute.
So this attribute is like agility, and then the skills are like acrobatics, melee, stealth.
Yep, there
just
are.
To make sure I'm reading it
agility,
right.
Agility, awareness, brawn, coordination, intelligence, personality, and willpower.
So to revamp, what does that 5 I roll meant?
That 5 says you are fast and fit. After you determine your starting numbers, so a bunch of 7s or up to 2 6s, which can relate to up to 2 8s. Xander, you look confused.
Go with it, man. Just let it happen.
I'm just going to do the 7s.
Okay, yeah, go same. With 7s. Yep. There you go.
But what I'm understanding is I can drop like 2 to 6s and then raise 2 to 8s. Is that correct?
Yes, up to. So like if you're like, you know, I want to be really strong, but I don't want to be really smart, I can lower my intelligence to 6, but I can raise my brawn to 8.
Heard.
And then you can do it a second time, but that's it. Okay,
I gotcha.
I see what I was doing wrong. Jacob.
Yes.
You actually get 2 rolls. Your first roll is that you are fast and fit.
Yep.
Now you pick another die. If you want, you can pick the same thing. It's up to you.
We'll go a 7 on the second one.
Okay. That's eagle-eyed. You are fast and fit, and you are eagle-eyed. Okay. You have 4 mandatory attributes. They are agility, brawn, awareness, and coordination. One of those only gets a plus 1. One of those gets a plus 3, and the other get a plus 2. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. Poppy?
You said fast and fit. Where is that being written?
I don't know if you write the aspect down. I think it's just a description.
Okay. So that just gives you an idea of where to put your, I see, where you could put your attribute points.
I don't believe it's referenced ever again in the game.
Okay. Okay.
It's just like,
it's just a character building. Yep. I gotcha. Okay.
Later in the book, I do recall that it mentions pulling those in for when writing the description of your character, but that's about it.
Now, you also get four optional attributes. They are agility, coordination, and awareness. There's overlap. There's a lot of overlap here.
Oh, yep. Okay, okay.
We'll chunk it out for each person.
Pick two of those and give them a plus one. All modifiers stack. So, I mean, you can pick coordination twice if that's what you want to do because it's listed twice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Xander, this will all be explained when you tell me your first number.
My first number is 18.
18. You are charismatic.
Mm. Fuck yeah.
And give me your next second number.
That is 16.
You are also dexterous. You are charismatic and dexterous. Okay. You want to mark these four mandatory attributes. Just put like a dot next to them to let them know which ones you got to do.
Got it.
They are agility, coordination, personality, and willpower. So increase one of them by plus three. That's going to be the best one. And then one of them by only plus one, quote unquote, the worst one. And then the others by plus two.
Whoa. Okay.
The other two that you marked.
Yeah. Got it.
So all four of those are going to get a bonus, but you know, it's 3, 2, 2, and 1. And then.
Okay.
And then now you mark four different attributes because trust me, just mark four different attributes. It's going to be
just at random.
No, I'm going to give them to you.
Okay.
They are brawn, willpower, awareness, and intelligence. Give any two of those an additional plus one.
I will say that if anyone out there knows of a games design workshop, character creation worksheet, that style character creation worksheet for Conan, if you know it, let me know it, just because this game really needs it.
Yeah. All right, Poppy, what's your first number?
Two.
You are strong and resolute.
Okay.
And what's your second number?
Six.
Fast and fit.
Okay. So
you're going to tag. You're going to tag four stats. Are you ready?
Yes.
They are agility, brawn, brawn, and willpower.
Brawn twice.
You can do it twice. Okay. You could, if you wish, to be really strong, put that plus three in there, and then a plus two in there, and then put a plus two on one of the others, and a plus one in the last one.
Okay, one more time.
Are you building a strong person?
Apparently.
Is that what you want to do? You don't have to.
I mean, yes.
You're going to be strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can. So tell me what's strong. Tell me what's strong and resolute. What happened over there?
So you're gonna want
not fit for the mics. That's all I'm saying. Ask me later.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So tell me what strong and resolute gives me first, please.
All right. Strong. Okay. You don't need to. Strong and resolute is nothing. You don't need to write that down. That's just a description of your character, your background, basically, your attributes. You are strong, resolute, fast, and fit.
Yes.
So now we're
translating
those
into
brawn, agility, and willpower.
Xander, I promise you, whenever you do end up playing with me, I will hand you a pre-gen.
Your brain is hurting. I'm putting a plus what? I can pick two of those?
So all four of those are going to get a bonus.
Okay.
One of them, you're going to put only a plus one.
Okay.
One of them, you're going to put a plus three.
Okay, hold on.
Plus
one, a plus three.
Yep. And then the other two are going to get plus twos. So, for example, if you really wanted to min-max your brawn, you want to just go all in on brawn, you'd put a plus five next to it. Total of plus five.
Can I do that? Ignore the zeros. Those were just my marks.
Yeah, you could do that as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so that's a plus three to agility, two and two to brawn for total plus four, and a plus one to willpower.
Cool.
Got it.
Yes.
Great. Now you get four more.
All right.
Oh, my. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They are personality, intelligence, coordination, and awareness.
Okay.
Pick two of those mm-hmm. and give them a plus one.
Two of those and mm-hmm. give them a plus one. Let's see, plus one and plus one. Okay. And that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Okay, cool.
Got it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So
next. What?
I'm so sorry. So instead of having like seven plus three, I can just change all of those to whatever they are total, correct? That the plus, the fact yep. that it's a plus two doesn't yep. matter. It's just, I need a total.
Factor it in.
Okay, okay,
there are cool. ways of deriving the mm-hmm. final score for yeah. that attribute.
Okay, cool.
The character creation needs the worksheet that is shown in the book under each of the example sections. There's a little bit of a tiny worksheet, but you can't print it. Mm-hmm. There's no printable option. I sure. will say that from what I've read of the system, I dig it. And from what I've read of everything it portrays of the Conan world and the immersion that you get reading this book is fantastic. The character creation system is poorly explained.
Yeah. Like I said, it needs a GDW style yeah. character creation worksheet.
Yep.
Which, again, is sometime when NPC and I decide to geek out and discuss game design, that's one of those things.
I to be clear, when I downloaded this free zip file from the website, it gave me like four different options of sheets that could print out with yep. like all kinds of fancy shit on them. And I just picked the most basic.
Good.
But maybe
Xander, you're looking at me wild eyed. I promise you.
It's, sweetie, this isn't whole. You're okay.
Am I in a good place?
You are in the good place. Yes.
You will not die during character creation after fuck 2.5 you. Hours.
You're in the good place, right? Yes.
Wait, but I watched that show. Then I was in the... Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Well, next we're going to determine your character's caste.
Ooh.
It's a social class from which you were born and or have emerged. This is also a single role. Poppy, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with one.
With why a the, one. Why the you hell are not? From a crafter Ooh. Cast.
Cool.
Make a note. Is there a spot on there for social standing?
There's two for cast. It says cast and then cast again.
There's cast under background and cast under talents.
Ah, so your what? Cast will give you two talents, one skill, and a story.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yep.
All right, so crafter. What was the first question you asked? I'm sorry.
I was wondering if there was a spot on the sheet for social standing.
Social standing.
No, there's cast, and then there's also cast right underneath that. So that might be social standing, perhaps,
Jacob? Not sure. Jacob?
I'm taking a look.
Anyway, cast is going to get you two talents, a skill, and a story.
Okay.
Unlike most talents, cast talents are not part of a regular talent tree and are instead based on your years of prior learning. As such, they are not available to later characters to take.
Cool.
All right. Ooh, here's where it's going to get interesting.
Okay.
All right. As a crafter, yes. you get two talents.
Okay.
Subject and tradesman.
Okay.
Crafter. There is an honesty in the way hammer hits metal or how the owl bites into the wood. You've learned to trust in the objects you make far more than those who might use them. When war drums beckon, your purse swells with gold, and in peacetime, it is sometimes difficult to make ends meet. Perhaps it's time you packed up your tools and went looking for a new war.
Mm.
So Poppy is a war profiteer. Got it.
Mm-hmm. He's an arms dealer.
That's why I'm so brawny.
You gain one skill, which is craft. And here's where it gets weird.
Okay, hold on.
Craft is under intelligence. Second one down.
Oh. Well, this is different, though, than the attributes and skills, right?
This is a skill.
So I'm writing, it's not a talent?
It's not a talent. Craft. Well, okay. Now you're getting a skill called craft. Look for your skills.
It's under intelligence, second one down.
I'll put the skills
on the,
right
on
here.
On the right.
Yes. So if you notice in the under talents, mm-hmm. under cast, there's a
skill. It's interesting how it sets that up.
And so that's why I'm confused.
Yeah. And so you can list the skill, and so you know where you got it from in your character creation.
So am I putting that in the right place?
Yeah. Put the skill next to your cast skill. Yeah.
Yes. So you put it next to your cast
skill. Okay. Sorry.
And
okay,
if you notice, I think NPC named off two things for you.
I know, right?
Yeah. So you get subject and tradesman, but you only get one skill.
Right.
Okay. So I get, those are my talents?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Subject and tradesman, and I get to choose a skill.
Yeah. No, once you get a skill called craft.
Yes.
Right in that first skill spot. You're not going to put anything next to the second one. I think it's just a copy paste thing.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. It's to let you know where you derived that skill from.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Xander, give me a d20 roll. What you got?
I have a 17.
With a 17, you are from the priesthood.
Okay.
Your two your cast talents are priest and subject. And your skill is lore. You are one of the few characters that has a social standing of 2. I don't know if there's any way to mark that somewhere. But as a crafter, you only have a social standing of 1. Priesthood. The gods are real and active in the world around you, a fact you know for certain. They require sacrifice and dedication and are not as merciful as we would hope. Whether your worship is from love, fear, ambition, or tradition, you have the certainty needed to navigate their most complicated rites and to ensure they do not inflict curses upon those you would protect.
I am very happy I took a lot of intelligence and personality. This is going to be great.
Jacob?
Just an aside. If the real-life Xander was to worship one of the Conan gods that you and I are familiar with, would it not be Nymedia?
Which one's Nymedia?
He's the god of justice, order, and the kind one. The nice one, as it were.
Ew.
Really? I mean...
No.
Duketo's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The god of sex and death.
Thank you, NPC. Fuck you, Jacob. Oh, okay. I'm liking this. All right,
Jacob, D20 roll. Which one you got?
Oh, decisions. We're going to go with 17.
With the 17, that would also put you in the priesthood. I would let me change that.
How does a 19 sound?
Oh, warrior. Yes. Excellent. You're the warrior cast.
Let me just swap out some stuff here. There we go.
One of your parents fought and died in battle. Your grandparent died guarding a city wall, having seen nothing more than the occasional tavern brawl. There was never a choice as to whether you'd pick up the blade as a calling, only the question as to how you'd turn profit from it. Your starting skill is parry. And your two talents are sentry and subject. Let me tell you what these do, just so you know. You don't have to write these down, folks. I just would like for you to know what you're getting into. Priest is a talent. I believe Xander has that one. You are an ordained priest in one of the land's many cults. Whenever in a town or city your faith has presence, you may spend time amidst the faithful. When carousing... If you do not have sufficient gold to pay your upkeep, your order can pay it instead. If you do so, you are required to donate all the rest that you have, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Sentry.
Right.
You learned at a young age that the watchful eye subsists on little rest. As long as you have had a total of 4 hours of sleep within the last 2 days, you suffer no penalties for sleep deprivation when making observation tests.
Oh, so you're just on methamphetamines.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Craftsman got subject. Okay, so the two who have subject, you are a subject in good standing to a lord or king. You are subject to their laws, but the taxes you face are much less than the more expensive taxes others experience.
Excellent.
So your upkeep is reduced. And finally, tradesman. You've passed apprenticeship with a tradesman or within a guild. You can fall back to your ability to make money.
Cool.
Does everybody have all of those picked? Written yes. down?
Yeah. Ready to go. I think I have written down what I need written down right now.
Looks like you do. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Okay. The next thing is what's called your story. And this is going to come from your cast.
I was like, taste?
Cast. Yeah. I alternate between pronunciations.
It's Calliope syndrome.
Yeah.
Don't take it. It was just
Calliope.
Calliope.
Yeah. Crafter, everybody's going to, it's just random. Okay. Something to explain here, folks, is that this isn't required random. We are choosing the random option.
Because we love watching Xander suffer.
Exactly.
We are doing this to ourselves.
Yeah. This is a choice that we made a long time ago. Ultimately, whenever a character creation system gives you the random option, we're like, let's do it. So you actually could choose any of these or all of them from choices. But random, why not? Poppy, give me your next D20.
16.
Your story is too many closed minds. Okay, let me read this aloud. You passed your apprenticeship, but only barely so. Ore was rare and mines were largely worked out. You had to scavenge with some of your fellow apprentices to try and find enough ore to work with. When you finally found some, a gang or prospectors tried to steal it from you. What happened? Did you get enough metal to achieve the journeyman rank, or did you have to look elsewhere?
Do I answer that question right now?
Yeah.
I got enough. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, is there a spot for traits?
Yes.
Okay. Your first trait is...
Where are the traits?
It's right underneath homeland under your background.
Oh, thank you.
Dead center.
Got it.
So, just so you know, a trait is an element of your character's background you can invoke in play, potentially regarding spent fortune points. They're basically role-playing prompts that you vote, well, my criminal background, I know a shortcut around this. Spend a point, make a thing happen. Anyway, your trait, your first one, is criminal past.
Awesome.
Okay, priest. Priesthood story. Xander, next D20.
That would be a 5.
Beneficial omens is the event.
Ooh. Oh my God, so on brand for Xander.
Your birth was marked by strange omens, and your induction was conducted at a time when the stars were at their peak. Members of your order, he does the eyebrow raise over there. It's very nice. Members of your order speak about you in hushed tones, worried about the meaning of so many omens surrounding your entry into their ranks. Occasionally, members of your order will come to you with strange tests or tasks, seeking answers to questions they will not share with you. What was your strangest task? Did you complete it? And were there any notable omens during its completion?
Okay, strangest task. Did I complete it? Any notable omens? Ooh. Shut the fuck up, Jacob.
If you have something, you can say it or we can wait and come back to you.
No, I'm gonna wing this one right now.
All right.
Okay. The task I was given, because apparently there's some god of murder and death or some shit.
Sex and death.
Sex and death and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Dirketto.
Yeah.
Very much rock and roll. Dirketto is so rock and roll.
In the Conan Exiles game, the shrine that you can build to Dirketto, it is literally a sex bed with cuffs and a sacrificial knife.
Yeah, I'm in.
And cats.
And cats.
And cats. I'm in that religion in the game.
Yeah. Xander's like, cats.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Oh, well, it'll be Bar Cat from where I work, and then it'll be fine.
There you go.
My task was to go and drown a baby in a tub of wine.
In a tub of wine. Ooh, okay. Okay.
I like it. I like it.
Did I succeed? Yes, but no. Because that's where the omen comes in.
Uh-oh.
The baby engulfs the wine as though it was air. Came back out and was still living.
Oh my God, Xander. That's beautiful.
May I offer a modification?
Yeah,
sure.
And covered with wine-colored birthmark.
Can we name the baby Brine?
Brian the baby.
Brine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Chad.
No, I will go. Wow.
No, Brine, as in it was brined.
Brian.
No, Brine.
As in we brined the baby before we cooked it. No. I'm going to say no to the birthmark, but I think its eyes are now wine colored.
Ooh,
red wine colored now are now the eyes. And yeah. And so, yeah, that is the omen, is this in this religious ceremony sacrifice, the baby survived all of its challenges and is now potentially the new omen.
Well, make a note that the first trait that you get to write down is demanding peers.
So thank you for that lovely, lovely bit of character creation. Very inspired. Also, thank you for saddling this party with like a lone wolf and cub goddamn storyline. I can see it already.
What's with the blood-eyed kid? Don't worry about that.
The kid's probably been taken away to deal with by the more experienced priests. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
And this is why NPC is a kind GM, and I am not.
So finally... Oh, wait, no. And I want to add to what Jacob was saying with the thanks. Xander, kudos. That was really in the spirit of the setting. That was
good. Because I don't know much about it. I'm hoping I'm trying to, like, you know, get into the universe a little bit. So if that was on brand, then I'm really happy.
So on brand.
That was good shit.
I could picture that scene being described in Robert Howard's own prose. It was good.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
See, I knew you were going to like this.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Jacob, next D20 for your warrior story.
We're going to burn one of my other 17s.
Blood-soaked endeavor.
Nice.
Okay. This is your story. While the Vanguard gained the glories, you were treading the ground they swept, preventing the enemy from encirclement, stomping the injured into the mud. As the day turned to evening and the light began to shift, the scope of the massacre became clear. Your army had swept through the enemy and carved deep into their encampment. The bodies of servants and children littered the ground. Seeking to profit from the battle, you searched the nearby tents and left, knowing the enemy would never truly recover. Oh, left. You didn't leave. You searched the tents on the left. Okay, got it.
Got it.
What loot did you gather, and whose hand did you prize it from?
One moment.
And if it matters, your trait is greed.
So, I praised from the hand of the general of the Vendean camp his prized bejeweled scimitar.
Okay.
In the Vendean fashion, it's overblown, not of quality steel, effective, but nothing to write home about. But its hilt could buy a kingdom in Afghulistan.
Okay. I dig. Mm-hmm. Now we do your archetypes, folk. We're going to start with Jacob again this time. While the 10 archetypes here, note, are only a sample of the many and varied types possible. They are the most representative of the types encountered on the open roads, in dimlit taverns, and also in the stories that this is based on. You can pick or roll randomly. We're going to roll. Jacob, give me a D20.
I am going to go with just giving my colleagues the most options to pick from their dice.
Just pick one, dude.
Yep, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to go 11.
Your archetype is so on point, pirate.
I come from a landlocked land.
We're just going to do all three of these at once. Poppy, D20, what you got?
What number did you choose?
11.
I'm going to go with 18.
18. Shit. Scoundrel. Xander.
I guess I'm no longer doing 18. I'm going to go and bump this up to my 13.
Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, no.
Priest.
Well, there you go.
Oh, all right.
You're a priesty priest.
I am the priestiest of the priests. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're good.
All right. So let me read this aloud so you know what you're getting. Each archetype grants you a total of 7 skills. The first of these is your career skill, which gives you a +2 and +2. So skills have focus and expertise. So whenever you get it, it's going to have a +1 to focus and a +1 to expertise, or a +2 and a +2. I think it's always a balance. So if you get a +1 in one, it's always a +1 in the other at character creation. So additionally, you get a talent associated with this skill. Then 4 of the 7 skills are mandatory, and the last 2 are elective that you get to choose. Each mandatory and elective skill grants you an increase, +1, +1. You cannot pick the same one twice. Lastly, it gives you equipment, weapons, armor, gear, trade tools, and other implements of your craft. So that was just a little heads up of what you're about to get. Now we're going to determine how it's going to work out. We're going to start with a pirate.
Yes.
With a pirate. You may once have been a sailor, a merchant, or even a member of one of the great navies, but eventually you turned your hand towards piracy. More at home in the open water than on land, you are nonetheless willing to seek your fortune wherever fate guides you. Okay. Your career skill is observation.
Yep.
Your career talent is sharp senses. Your mandatory skills. So your career skill, you get a +2 and a +2 with it. The mandatory skills are +1, +1. There are 4 of them. They are melee, parry, resistance, and survival. And then finally, the same bonus, +1, +1, you get to any 2 of the following 3 skill choices: sailing, stealth, or thievery.
Well, I'm from Afghulistan, so sailing
doesn't make
not,
sense. Yeah. So it sounds like stealth and thievery.
Stealth and thievery.
Great. Okay, and finally, you get a melee weapon of choice. You get a padded jerkin, and you get a share in a small watercraft or the proceeds that come from its activities. We can adjust that to land craft. Since it's Afghulistan, I would say like a desert raider.
Yeah, I was going to say a Turian raider.
Yeah.
They have nice caravans.
There we go. Okay, and that's it for that. Who was next? We got
Scoundrel. And really quick, where am I writing these things?
That's a good question. Let me take a look here. Would be archetype.
Yeah, the descriptor, like mine being sharp senses, goes under archetype in the center. The +1s and +2s and such, if you look in the, if you find the skill on the right hand column, you'll see that there's an EXP and folk. And
this
that's
stands for
where, expertise and focus.
Yeah.
Okay. And the pluses are going under expertise
and focus.
And focus.
So,
okay.
So at least during character creation, things are different when you actually play and level up. At the time of character creation, any plus one that you get in one will also be a plus one in the other. So if I say a plus one to a skill, for example, animal handling, if something were to give you a plus one to animal handling right now, you would put a plus one under both expertise and focus.
Okay. What does the TN stand for?
Target number, I believe. And that is going to be a total of your bonuses based on personality and so on.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't need to worry about that right now.
So, okay. So under under archetype up here, under background, I wrote scoundrel. And then under archetype, under talent, that's what you're about to tell me.
Yep.
Okay.
Your archetype talent or your career talent is agile. Oh, let me read the scoundrel. You make a living exploiting the weaknesses of others, whether gambling, theft, or outright banditry. The two of you are probably really business partners. Yeah. Survival by wits is the only life you have ever known, and you have gotten quite good at it. Trusting in your wits, reflexes, and lack of scruples to get you out of danger. Though, by one means or another, you readily find yourself back in the thick of it.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm agile.
You are agile. That's your talent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just go ahead and mark this down, next to acrobatics, you get a plus two. So remember, it's plus two, plus two.
Okay, so experience and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hold on. Plus two in both. Plus so whenever two, I say plus two, plus put two it in both.
For acrobatics. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Next, you're going to put a plus one next to athletics, parry, persuade, and society.
I'm very cosmopolitan, scoundrel.
Yeah. Now, pick two of these three that sound interesting to you. Melee, which is hitting things. Stealth, sneaking, or thievery.
Thievery.
Okay, pick two of those, though.
Stealth.
All right, so you are stealth and thievery.
So put those get plus one. Plus one. And stealth and thievery.
And the last thing to note is that you get a melee weapon of your choice.
Ooh!
You get either a brigandine jacket, which gives you
fancy.
There's a choice here. You get a brigandine jacket or heavy clothing. The difference is a brigandine jacket gives you 2 points of armor, but only to your arms and torso.
Mm.
While heavy clothing gives you 1 point of armor to everything.
I'm going to go 1 point everything.
Heavy armor or heavy clothing. It is.
Even the head?
Yep. Mm, cool. Oh, not the head. Sorry, not the head. Everything but the head. If you wish, you can have a shield. You don't have to.
It depends on what weapon I have.
Okay. So. And then finally, you get a small chest of counterfeit goods. Ah! Hey, priest!
I'm listening.
Out of order. Born into the faith, or late convert, you feel the calling of one of the many gods of the Hyborian Age. From Holy Mitra, Accursed Set, Ishtar, Bori, Asura, Ibis, Erlik, Bel, Derketo, or even those who are not overly worshipped like Krom, Ymir, or the Zamorian spider god.
Zath.
You are either associated with a particular temple or you are itinerant, walking the land and converting the unfaithful by any means you can. Be it through example, with convincing speech, or by the sword. You get a career talent of quiet wisdom.
And that just goes under other, I assume? That goes under other down here?
Yes. It would be archetype.
Archetype.
Yeah. So archetype next to it put quiet wisdom.
Okay.
All right. Your career skill, which gets you a plus two, is counsel.
Okay.
You're going to get a plus one next to insight, lore, persuade, and a society.
What does society do for me?
I don't know.
I'll figure out later. I was curious.
It's somewhat handy. If I recall, it's kind of like social graces, understanding the social hierarchy, you know, those how to fit in a social gathering, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Etiquette, is what I'm assuming.
That's the word there I was looking for. Thank you.
And then of these three, pick two. Alchemy, healing, or sorcery.
Are those plus ones or?
Plus ones.
Okay.
Which ones are you picking?
Taking healing and.
So alchemy is like potions and crafts and whatnot. Yeah, well, sorcery is.
I'll do that. Magic, I'm going to do alchemy.
Which has its own systems. Then I'm glad you didn't take it.
Yeah, I was like, maybe, but I think alchemy more.
Yeah. And you get the following equipment. You get a single melee weapon of choice, often a staff, sword, or knife, but it's up to you.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go with like a ceremonial dagger.
You get a single copy of a scroll or book containing your faith's precepts and holy words.
Yeah, I'm just going to write down Death Bible.
You get traveling clothes and priestly vestments, oils, herbs, and religious accoutrements. Oh, and
where am I writing this shit down? Additional belongings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just scrawled it in there.
You get kit for each of your elective skills.
Can you start from the top again? I didn't know where to write this shit down. It was just like there's so
you
many.
Get a weapon, you get a book, you get some clothes, robes, oils, and religious-y things. Put religious shit.
Religious shit.
You get a healing kit and an alchemy kit. And finally, you get a mule.
He rides in style.
Don't be a jackass.
Next, we're going to do your nature. While archetype tells you what your character does, nature tells you how and why your character might choose to act in a certain way.
Oh boy.
Xander, give me a d20. What you got?
Next one up is an 18.
Oh, okay, you're supportive.
Ugh.
Would you like to swap it with a different one?
What does a 2 give me?
Cautious.
I'm going to go with that 2.
Okay, you are cautious.
You're such a goddamn religious politician.
Okay. Jacob?
I am going to go with a 13.
Sneaky.
We are buds.
Poppy?
16.
Stoic.
All right. Interesting. Excuse me.
And what is this?
Got it. Okay.
Nature.
Nature. So under background. Yep.
Got it.
Okay. Xander, since you're writing, I'm going to go ahead and give you some stuff to write. First off, increase your willpower by plus one.
Oop.
Next, you're going to get a plus one to lore, parry, and stealth.
I'm doing the double ones, right?
Yep.
Oh.
If at the end of this character creation, you see that you've only put plus ones in one of the two, just balance it out. Yeah.
Cool.
You get to pick two of these three, animal handling, athletics, or sailing.
Ugh. All right.
I mean, you got a mule, so animal handling could make sense.
That was a no-brainer.
Yeah, and athletics.
Yeah, that's what
you got. Put a plus one next to those.
Got it.
And then make a note that you're going to get a talent associated with any of those skills. One talent. You don't have to pick it right now. We'll come to that later. Don't worry about it. Just make a note. One talent. A nature talent.
Oh, I see that now.
Yep. Cool. Okay, who else we got? We got...
Stoic.
Stoic. You get a plus one to willpower.
Plus one. Yep. And that's just to the full...
To the full thing.
Okay, yep. Cool.
Increases the base number.
Okay.
You get a plus one to the skills, discipline, lore, and resistance.
Discipline... Oh, shit. Where was that? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yep.
Discipline, lore, and resistance.
Yep.
Where is resistance? Oh, there it is. Discipline, lore, and resistance. Okay.
Pick two of these three. Counsel, healing, and parry.
Counsel.
I would put another one in parry since you've gotten so many bonuses to it already.
I mean... I've already got.
This is a system that favors specialization.
Counsel and what was counsel healing?
Counsel or... healing and parry.
I want to go with healing.
Okay.
But I'm the priest. I do healing.
Shut up.
My God commands you to stop.
You get to and make a note that you get a talent.
Yes.
One talent associated with those. And okay. Jacob, I see that you're already writing down.
Yes.
But I will read them aloud anyway, so excellent. That listeners know. Your awareness is increased by plus one. You're going to get a bonus plus one to observation, stealth, and thievery. And you get to pick between acrobatics, athletics, and survival. Which two did you pick?
I chose athletics and survival.
Okay. And then you get to pick trait. Or talent associated with them. Next, we do your education. We're going through the stages here. Xander, give me a
D20. The last D20.
18.
18. Your education was traditional. Jacob?
17.
Your education was also traditional.
Poppy? 2.
2. Your education was against your parents' will.
She was always such a good girl.
I'm going to read that one aloud. You sought out your own education, defying your parents' wishes. Though they tried to guide you in a particular direction, you practiced secretly. Perhaps it was the path followed by one of your parents, a close relative, or some figure significant to you. You get a plus one, too. The following skills. Okay. Discipline, lore, and stealth.
Okay, hold on. Okay, lore.
Discipline.
Discipline.
And stealth.
Stealth.
And then pick two of the following three. Animal handling, sailing, or survival.
Definitely survival.
Okay.
And I'll do animal handling.
I mean, someone should probably know how to sail, right?
I think everybody has assumed that you're not sailing. So okay. This is definitely going to be a landbound campaign. Yeah, was,
of what I'm coming up with in my mind, yeah. There's no reason why I should know how to sail, yeah. I think.
And you get a talent associated with one of those skills. Just put, you know, skill talent.
And that's under
this is going to be education.
Yeah. Plus one. Okay.
Yeah. And finally, equipment. You get a broken family heirloom.
Hmm. That goes under my additional things.
Yep.
Okay.
As for the traditional, yours was an unremarkable education. Perhaps, thankfully. You were either trained in the family trade, apprenticed to a mostly benevolent master, or tutored without overmuch drama. As such, your education was well-rounded, if not the most inspired. Looking back, you feel blessed. You get a plus one to the following skills: animal handling, craft, and your character's career skill.
Oh.
Do you remember what your career skill was?
I believe it's lore.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
You are a priest, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That, council, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
You get a plus one to two of the following skills: melee, parry, and a random career skill.
Wait, it's like put one to melee, one to parry,
or into a random career skill.
What? My career skills.
Well, tell you what, go ahead and roll another d20. And you can choose from these.
That's a 14.
That would have given you counsel, because that's priest to priestess. Whereas Jacob...
I went for the stock melee and parry since I was a little lacking in those areas by character creation. I needed to round them out.
I'm picking one more though, correct? And do I roll for that or do?
No, sorry. You're getting a plus one to either melee, parry, or
council.
Council, and plus you pick one. Two of those three. Same as before.
Okay.
All I can think of when you say parry is that episode from Steven Universe with the Hollow Pearl, who's trying to teach Steven and Connie how to fight. Yeah. Parry, parry, thrust. Parry, parry, thrust. Would you like to engage in combat? Anyway.
And finally, you get equipment from that, Xander and Jacob. You get to choose either a heavy cape, crafting tools, or a melee weapon of your choice.
And all I got was a broken family heirloom. I'll just steal the rest.
That's what you get for going outside your family, Poppy.
Well, I was looking up a little bit about Brithunia, and I have a slightly different take on it, which I think will be in game.
There should be one more table, so it's nobody.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The last table is your war story. War is a constant throughout the Hyborian kingdoms, a battle of kings and chieftains, empires and armies. Everyone, including your character, has likely encountered war in some way or another, or some sort of conflict that proved instrumental in their current fate. One last roll here. We'll start with you, Poppy. What you got?
A two.
Two. You defeated a savage beast.
Sweet.
You get a plus one to animal handling and melee.
Sweet.
Jacob?
Five.
Five. You gained and lost a great treasure. You get a plus one to observation and society. Xander? Jesus.
That's an 11.
11. Shipwrecked. You get a plus one to athletics and sailing. Ah. Someone had to have
it. What? I avoid the sea. I avoid the sea.
I'm sorry, really fast. Yeah. My other, so for my defeated a savage beast, I have it was a plus one in melee.
And animal
handling. Animal handling. Yep. Okay, thank you.
And now we do the final finishing touches. Woo-hoo! These you all get to choose. You can, if you want, increase one of your stats by plus two or two of them by plus one.
In any of our attributes.
Yep.
Cool.
You cannot increase an attribute above 14, for the record.
Attribute, not skill.
Yeah.
So
attribute.
Add a plus one.
One of the base seven.
To any of them. Okay. I'm going to add that to my intelligence.
What'd you go for, Jacob?
I added one to my agility and one to my awareness.
What's your highest attribute?
Awareness.
What is it?
13.
Okay. Xander, what'd you do?
I added two to personality.
What's your personality number?
13.
Okay. And what'd you go for, Poppy?
I added one to each intelligence and personality.
What's your highest attribute?
My highest attribute would be brawn.
What's the number?
11.
Okay, cool. I would like to make a note here that both Xander and Jacob's characters, because they have a 13 or 14 in an attribute, have the ancient bloodline talent for free.
Bam.
There was just knuckles given and received.
Let me read aloud what this does. Okay. The ancient bloodline talent indicates that you are obviously descended from one of the great fallen civilizations. people whose physical and mental attributes were greater than those of the folk of the Hyborian Age. Whether your parentage descends from the isles of sunken Atlantis or the ruined empire of Acheron, you visibly stand out as a beacon of excellence or depravity. With this talent, anytime you fail to make a personality test of any kind, you must immediately pay the game master one doom point.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait, do we just do a bad thing?
And we'll gain an additional D20, rolling it and adding it to the test. The test is otherwise resolved in the normal fashion. If you have already spent doom points to gain a third D20 to modify the personality roll, you must pay the doom point, but do not get the additional D20. It is recommended the game master use doom points in this manner to harden the hearts of nearby non-player characters capable of witnessing the interaction, strengthening their resolve, manifesting itself in ancient hatred and fear against these long-forgotten foes of their race. If this is not appropriate as a result, it can be ignored in the doom point spin. It's a game master sees fit, blah, blah, blah. What was that, Sander?
I was literally just stretching out my arms. Okay. So for Bloodline, do I write something down? Is there a skill? It says there's an effect.
It's a talent.
Under talent, just ancient Bloodline.
Ancient. Okay.
There you go.
Because perhaps you do not even know what your ancient Bloodline is, but everyone aware around you is vaguely aware.
He's one of them.
Now, you get one of the following three choices, and this...
to get weird again.
No, I'm just making how many other choices do you get? Okay, not many. This is one of the last two. Very few choices. Okay, this is one of the last ones. Your skills. You get a final skill choice. You can... It's a 3-2-1 choice. Mm-hmm. You can raise one skill by three, two skills by two, or three skills by one.
Okay. That makes sense.
Wait. No, I got it wrong. It's one skill by three, two skills by two and one, or three skills by one.
That makes more sense.
Yep.
Can I inquire as to what the personality skill of counsel does?
It does what you think it does. No.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. That's a good answer.
Where did the skills go? It's under personality, you say?
Yeah.
Counsel. This skill governs your ability to provide sound advice and reassurance, calming the fears and easing the minds of others. A skilled counselor is a valuable asset in a dangerous world and can help allies weather the terrors of harsh and brutal life. Common usage in damage and recovery.
Okay, so basically, how is that different than persuade?
It's a bit different. Terror is a big thing in the Conan universe.
Okay.
And to be shaken and broken by the sights that man were not meant to know.
Mm. Counsel would be a thing that would...
It's kind of a mental healing skill.
You're a therapist, and we all have PTSD.
Yeah,
I think that that answers that question. Thank you.
So yeah, plus three and one, plus two plus one, or plus one plus one plus one.
Is one plus two plus one plus one, not one plus two plus one plus one. Clue.
Ah. Yeah. Which did you pick, Jacob?
I chose plus two plus one, putting it between my melee and my parry.
All right. Poppy?
I wasn't paying attention. What are we doing?
That's very much on brand. You get either a plus three and one skill, mm-hmm. a plus two and a plus one in two skills, or a plus one, plus one, plus one in three skills.
Okay.
I strongly recommend just picking one and going for broke, but
well,
that's how, you know, draw Mike is stolen.
I decided to go and put two into counsel.
Yep.
And one and two persuade.
Okay.
I'm going to put plus one in insight. plus, and then I can do plus two in another one.
Mm-hmm.
Plus two in craft.
Yep. Xander?
Did we do War Story already?
Yeah.
I rolled for that, didn't I?
Yep.
Yep.
What the fuck did I get?
Shipwrecked.
Oh, that's right.
That's okay. What you got.
I just need to write it down.
Yep. Yep. And one last note. We're not going to go through the book and pick these right now. Is that you get one final talent of your choice.
Ooh.
But there's like 5,000.
There's a lot of talents to look from. There's kind of, you know, you'd want to look through this book right here that I'm holding in my hands. That's beautiful.
Wow.
And got a Braum cover because Braum is what you put on the fucking cover of a goddamn gaming book. You would pick a talent from this book and cool. Add it to your character. Yeah. That you actually get several choices because I think two of your previous character creation steps gave you an extra talent that has so far been unpicked.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I that would be good to know. Cause yeah, I have an education talent, a nature talent, and another talent of choice. And I definitely have some attributes and skills that I would want to better balance.
Yeah.
So that would be.
Here's the thing of note though, numerically, this is a game that favors the bold. And it also favors those who specialize.
Fair.
One thing specifically to note is that having low numbers in something isn't the end of the world. It can create epic opportunities. And failure in this game really does drive the story forward.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, I was reading up on, I know very little about the Conan universe. So I was really quickly reading up about Brithunia and Brithunians. And especially since Brithunia it seems like a northern.
Yes.
A northern, so not near the cities.
I mean, sort of. It's complicated.
It's complicated. So anyway, one of the other things I was reading was that Brithunians are primarily of Hyborian stock. It is known they tend to have blue eyes and blonde hair. Eastern Brithunians have intermarried with dark-skinned Zamorians. Their women are often unsurpassing beauty.
Woohoo.
Being so close to Samaria and especially Hyboria, the people must be constantly ready to fight raids. And blah, 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 blah. It said something else in here of like their women are like, people like to steal us away and use us as slaves because we're so pretty.
Oh, boy.
Or something like that.
So they're trafficked.
I will note that Howard's writing was not super friendly towards women.
No.
It wasn't antagonistic towards them, but it was definitely a series of stories about the dominance of mm-hmm. Conan, the masculine yeah. character, over mm-hmm. all other threats.
Well, here's how I'm thinking to put a feminist yeah. twist on this that'll be good for role playing. Also, is so their women were often favored by slavers in foreign nations.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that instead of against my parents' will, I think I was kidnapped. So I was raised outside of my culture, and my education is outside of my culture. But my defeating a savage beast. I think I beat down my slaver and ran away.
That savage beast. I love yeah. that.
That's a nice twist.
You like that twist? Yeah, yes, yeah. I like that. So especially since she's got a criminal past. She's a scoundrel. She's also stoic. So she's seen some shit.
mm-hmm. Hasn't everyone.
You know, and she's very brawny. She's agile. You know, but everything else is maybe a little bit lower. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what I would like the spin I was going to put on it is that, yeah, I was maybe kidnapped into sex slavery or some shit. And I beat the ever loving shit out of my slaver.
Remember, this is the world of Conan, which means this is also the world of Red Sonja.
Totally.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's some notes. The Conan universe has been pastiched.
To hell.
Many people have plied their own take on Conan and told their own stories in the universe. And you know, to varying degrees of quality. I think that people, I myself haven't actually read any of the Conan stories in the written format outside of Howard's Own, but I've been seeking more recently, and I've been told that Robert Jordan of Wheel of Time fame is one of the premier of the non-Howard Conan writers, and that, yeah, he's got some good stuff out there to kind of sink your teeth into. And I forget where I was going with this. What? Oh yeah, Red Sonja. Well, Red Sonja was not initially a character in the Conan universe.
Correct.
But Marvel Comics made her one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think that's the origin of the chainmail bikini.
That's arguable. I mean, Vallejo was doing chainmail bikinis before Red Sonja.
Okay, fair enough. I'm pretty sure, however, Red Sonja was based on some Vallejo or Frazetta takes on Conan, and thus they combined them. And then I know that it may not have been the origin, but Red Sonja is what nailed it into the public perception, created the concept as we know it today.
Is personality a randomly rolled thing in here? That's the last thing I don't really have filled in.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, I don't have so age and gender, appearance and personality are what's.
And I wrote in those, but that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not going to randomly roll that.
But I do not believe personality is randomly rolled. I believe that's more of a narrative description.
Okay, so just kind of come up with that on the fly.
We got some final calculations. There's vigor and resolve and gold. You know, is it not one of the seven stats?
No, personality is a background, and okay. I believe it's one that you come up with whole cloth after you have rolled up your character based on the choices you made. I mean, obviously, it's informed. Oh, no,
but here we go.
Oh, okay.
Now that you know what sorts of experiences have shaped your character, I thought we had already reached the last page of the chapter, and it turns out that after the two-page split of box text, there's actually more. Okay. What sort of personality does the character have? Is the character angry, happy-go-lucky, adventuresome, out for revenge? Even choosing a few quick adjectives like these can help a lot in identifying the personality of a character. There's no number attached to it, so it seems like it's just a descriptor.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, you've already been given a lot of things to feed your personality. Uh-huh. Your nature, your trait. If you mm-hmm. read the background of your homeland, that can imply a lot, you know.
Or you can go to my online collection of hammer crawl tables and randomly roll in a trait. Apply that to your character. There's your personality.
There you go.
That said, it would probably not really match the character that's been built up to this point, but you never know. You might be surprised.
That's true.
Do we need to do a synopsis of each character quick?
I think so. I want to know who we got here. Jacob, you look ready to go.
We have Murad Throat Slitter, a Afghuli warrior who has seen some things, grew up in a Afghuli village where the entire village could be moved on a caravan of camels at a moment's notice, came of age raiding the Tarian caravans. He pried the tulwar he carries to this day from the hands of a dead Turian general. He is greedy. He is somewhat impetuous. He is known for his keen eye and his acceptable skills on the battlefield.
Poppy, looks like you've already picked a name.
Yeah, you just handed me that thing. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So we have Sabri Anja, and I haven't decided how old she is yet, but she's probably, I mean, I can't imagine that anyone reaches old age in this world.
The ripe old age of 30.
Exactly. I imagine she's in her early 20s or something. So female, homeland of Brithunia, as we were previously talking about, she was kidnapped away from her homeland and taken to some cosmopolitan area that I have not decided, some city as a slave, probably
Aquilonia.
And at some point she beat up her enslaver and ran away, and she's become a crafter. She is very strong, agile, very, very talented in her craft, I would say. And she doesn't trust easily. Takes a long time to gain her trust. But if you do get into her inner circle, she's going to be very loyal, very giving to the people she cares about the most. But otherwise, she's going to be very stoic, very guarded, and very protective of everything.
And Xander, rounding out this trio.
Okay, I have a priestess. Her name is Salida. Ooh. And of the Zambawian homeland, which is weird because I think that's landlocked, but I'm shipwrecked. I don't know. I'll figure that shit out at some point. But a very devout, driven, and dedicated priestess of the, what was it, Geppetto? What the fuck was that? Death and sex?
Geppetto. Geppetto.
Oh, those sex puppets. I don't know.
Geppetto?
I'm a sex piece. Sex priest of Geppetto.
Geppetto.
Geppetto. Okay.
Geppetto. Geppetto. Geppetto.
Geppetto. Heard. But a very driven and dedicated priestess to that. There was that one time where I did try to go and drown a baby in wine to go and kill it, and then it came back up, you know, to breathe wine and had its eyes turned to a dark blood red. And now I have a baby with me. Oops, stole that baby. Now it's my baby, and it is clearly a sign from the gods that I have to carry this thing with me.
Jesus Christ, this is Lone Wolf and Cub. Fuck.
Yeah. I literally have in my personality has a small wine-born child.
Wine-born. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The weapon I carry is a religious dagger.
Okay.
For both murder and sex stuff, sometimes both at the same time.
In vino veritas.
In vino veritatas.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty great. The highest attribute is personality at 13 with a council at 6. A fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm a mental soother.
You know, I'm getting some ideas here. If I were to run this, because
when you run this,
when I run this, I need to go reread the book clearly. But were I to run this with these characters, I see a lot of adventurous opportunities here. But what I'm seeing a distinct opportunity for a fourth player or a third, depending on how we balance it. Of playing with your character a bit, Xander, and check this out. Either the fourth character is the wine-born child who aged rapidly to maturity, or sometime, maybe a couple of years have passed and you are approached, this is your child. And it is given to you, and it's like the strapping young 18-year-old man, but with these wine red eyes, who may or may not have some weird shit going on. Or the other option is you haven't actually made your character, Xander. You just made your mother. And then you instead play the wine-born child.
I kind of like the idea of having another player playing the wine-born child a little bit more myself, just because I'm so in love with what I randomly rolled here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I really want to play Salida, and it sounds like a lot of fun. I also love the idea that they just rapidly ascend in age to a point of maturity and then just stop.
Because
I think that is a good omen of the gods. Like, that is a fun idea for me.
The other option would be like a early teens wine-born child.
But mom!
But like, think, have you ever seen the movie The Golden Child?
No.
No.
A long time ago. Yeah.
What, where
the Eddie Murphy one?
The Eddie Murphy one. Okay. One of Eddie Murphy's best, even though it's not a great movie.
Yeah.
which his acting is, he just goes over the map in acting, but that's a side thing. But like the wine-born child can be why these three rather distinctly different characters come along. Like Xander's character is saddled with the wine-born child while walking in a marketplace someday with the child who you're now responsible for. It grabbed onto the sleeve of my padded jerkin and refused to let go. And well, you're a priest, and where priests go, money goes. And I'm all about the greed. So this kid wouldn't let go of me until I agreed to come with and hooked up. And it becomes this both tool for the GM plus a axis revol. I can't remember the word. Basically, axis that gets the party together. The GM can prod the story along.
Catalyst.
Plus two side. Yeah, catalyst. There we go. Axis catalicti. That was the word I was looking for.
I think, unbeknownst to all of us, it's my kid. I think that
I tried to kill your kid.
I think that my slaver slash rapist. I think I got pregnant and had a kid, and they didn't want this bastard, so they gave it. They gave it away, and
the priestess of death.
To the priestess of death.
And I was like, don't worry, I got this.
Oh my God, there's so many ways we could do this.
Yeah.
Oh.
But somehow we could figure it out over the...
I like to round a game out with a fourth player. And if they do play that child, but grown up, we could just call the campaign My Two Moms.
I love it.
You know, just to talk about why systems like Conan in this regard are so good is so many systems are based around mechanically putting your character together, but don't necessarily give you a lot of story hooks during character creation. This one and this style of character creation creates those character hooks that you can find that not only hook into other characters' hooks, but leave a lot on the table for the GM to do a what the hell to not be constantly going, what do I do with this band of miscreants?
This is what is called life path character creation system. Many other games do something similar, but it's basically you build your character step by step through their life. This is where I was born. This is how I was raised. This was my destiny. This was my upbringing. This was my career. And this is the event that recently shaped the course of my life. That's what we went through.
This is something you really dig your teeth into. I'm actually feeling really excited about it. My main question is, how did I meet you two?
Well, that all depends. I mean, like, the easy hook for me is this kid grabbed my sleeve and wouldn't let go. And, well, priests equal money. So that's the easy end for me.
It could be a thing, too, where, you know, your child was unduly taken from you. Like, you actually had an attachment to it, but the slaver slash rapist, like, again, literally tore them from the womb.
Yeah.
And you had been searching, you know, because you knew what happened in this city. Like, you know, the birth did. And all of a sudden, like, you see Death Priestess with baby in, you know, tow that's just grabbing on to like this random pirate, land pirate over here. And you're like, wait a second.
Who looks suspiciously like me. Yeah.
Yeah. Those strange eyes.
Yeah. You're like, right. That looks like the child I just gave birth to, except for the weird fucking red eyes.
Right. Or maybe she was born with some like really, you know, obvious birthmark of some kind or some shit. Who knows? Well, there's lots of things we could do with it. Yeah.
We were talking about the wine birthmarks earlier. So maybe that is a thing that carries forward, but something like that.
Something
I think.
Very Willow-esque. Born with this thing, so oh my God, omen child, but then oh fuck, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be probably the easiest way to draw you into the into all of us, and then
I got the feeling that we might know each other though from something previous.
Oh, entirely possible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one works too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like a fence for me as far as I'm concerned. That's the easy one. It's like, oh, well, this fell off the back of the Tarian caravan rhino, so would you mind moving this on?
Well, how old are you in, are you picturing your character?
Late 20s.
Late 20s, okay. Okay.
I wrote down mid-20s for mine.
Mid-20s, okay.
People, you know, once you're 35, you're practically over the hill.
Right, I know. World. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how is that all going to work age-wise? We'll figure it out, but, like...
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing you all like these characters?
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
So I came into this cold, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, again, VHF, Conan the Librarian was the closest thing I've ever done with any of this kind of thing. I think I played, like, the MMO for, like, 10 minutes at some point, and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I only play 10 minutes. And I found this character creation just perplexing until it started to unfold. And once I kind of realized what was going on, I'm like, oh, now I know what to expect. And it became a lot easier and a lot more like, okay, yeah, just punch these things down and we'll get things done. And this actually makes sense. So confusion initial start. Solid ending. great landing. And as I started to randomly roll shit, I realized, like, oh my, I'm a death and sex priestess. I'm like, I am fucking into this. Like, I'm like, I am just going to be like a fucking Black Widow. Just a, yeah, just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Followed by ODs and death. It's going to be, I am very excited about this. And I think that in this kind of, you know, very dark world, I think that I could play a very fun priestess in this regard. And so I would actually want to play this game.
Jacob, what do you think?
I was actually surprisingly happy with how this character came out. It came out a little bit unusual. I don't normally go for the warrior stereotype, but Afghuli Raider is... so interesting. And the fact that what started out as a warrior became like an almost, I'm forgetting the dual characters, Fafnir and the Grey Mouser. Mm-hmm. That was what I was thinking. Fafnir and the Grey Mouser. Fafnir and the Grey Mouser style scoundrel, thief, bandit sort of thing is very, very appealing. And I can sink my teeth into this very easily.
Poppy?
Yeah, I'm feeling similar levels of excitement about fleshing out this character as I did when we did Tales from the Loop. And that's kind of rare that I really want to sit down and like write down a page of like character story, you know, and put in Zwillow links for houses and things like that. But I could really, and I love gaming with all of you. So it's so much fun. And I can see myself. I'm already creating my like wish list in my head of like, who do we want our final player to be, you know? And of course it's Aaron Bowman, top of the list, but that's probably impossible.
I've got ideas.
I've got ideas. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun and definitely like a little five session, you know, adventure sounds mm-hmm. great. Some redemption.
I'm already putting together a story in my brain.
I love it.
I would say very similar to Poppy over here. Just this character right here. I want to just go home and like crack open another beer, light a cigarette, and just like go into full writing mode.
Yeah.
And write like a couple page backstory as to what this all is. And also because I'm going to have to go and understand this Conan universe that I don't understand with my Geppetto God and everything.
Well, my friend, do you by chance own a Kindle?
I do not.
Would you like one for no cost?
Sure.
Would you use it?
Yeah.
We got an extra one.
Okay. So.
And all the Conan books ever are like 49 cents.
Yeah. All of them. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll make this happen.
Huzzah.
You need to immerse yourself in this universe.
All right. That just happened.
Well, that was Conan Adventures in an Age Undreamed Of, the Modiphius books. This is a newish game. It is, you know, last decade and whatnot. What I like is on the back of it, it's even got the picture of Robert E. Howard with his classic fedora picture. This, I must note, I know we have referenced other things such as the comics and Robert Jordan and the movie. This book does a damn fine job of not just focusing strongly on how words work, but also making sure you know that. The beginning of the book, the preface, the introduction, there's like introductions from two, if not three different of the people involved that talk about their history of reading Conan and, you know, how it inspired their youth and how it inspired their work. But then it always focuses back to, we decided to make this project focus on Howard's work. There are plenty of pastiches and they're all great, but we decided to focus on Howard's work. And you know what? It shows. Mm. And just a note. So, Poppy, a few years ago, you bought me for a super, super low price as a gift all of the Conan stuff that Howard did on Kindle. Mm-hmm. I have been reading that one Kindle, one singular Kindle book for super cheap almost every night for about a half hour to an hour as I go to bed for the last 2-3 years. I am 39% of the way through that book.
Mm-hmm. It's literally like
prolific,
like, yeah, 800 pages or something.
It's huge. Yeah. The content in it, and his prose is so thick that it's not something you speed read. You enjoy the words on the paper. It's really good. It's evocative. You can picture everything that's happening right there in your brain, and I hope we get to do something with this.
I would love to.
Yep. Well, that was Conan.
There we go.
Listeners, if you like this, let us know. If you want to hear a little bit more about these characters and you maybe want to experience an adventure from their perspectives as it's happening, let us know. In the meantime, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. This is another character jam. Conan, 2D20 system, Modifius. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
Dr. Sandra Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. The Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.